We're turning back in the Word of God this evening to that portion of Scripture that we read together, namely Hebrews and chapter 9, page 808 in the Church Bibles. And our text this evening is the 24th verse of this chapter, and especially the final part of that verse, where we read, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now to appear in the presence of God for us. This morning we thought about the important subject of the ascension, Christ's return to glory, and what that means for us in fulfilling the Great Commission and as witnesses for him. And tonight on this Ascension Sunday, I want us to continue the theme of the Ascension and answer an important question, which is, what is Christ doing in heaven now? What is Christ doing in heaven now? And I wonder if we were to try and answer that question, what we might say. Because we often have a tendency to ignore the work that Christ is doing today. And while it is right, absolutely proper, to place an emphasis on Christ's earthly work, on his work of atonement, and we ought never to marginalize that. By the same token, though, we ought not to marginalize, we ought not to overlook the work that Christ is doing today in heaven for us. Our Saviour is not simply waiting, as it were, for the clock to tick down until his triumphant return as King and Judge. No, instead he is actively engaged in his role as our high priest, as our mediator, and as our intercessor, as the one who is working on our behalf, representing us before his Father in the heavens. On earth, Christ was our high priest, and in heaven, he continues that work. This we find in the verse that we have as our text, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is part of Christ's priestly work. When on the cross Christ declared, "It is finished," he was referring to the work of atonement, a work that was completed, never to be repeated, a work that was sufficient and satisfactory. And at Calvary, Christ finished his sacrificial duties as priest. And yet, his priestly work of intercession, his priestly work of mediation continues, and that continues today for us in the heavens. But we might ask the question then, what is a mediator? What does this really mean? And how does Christ fulfill this role for us today in the heavens? Well, a mediator is one who seeks to resolve a dispute between two parties. It is somebody who will act as a go-between, to intervene between two groups of people who need to be brought together, trying to find an amicable solution to the tension, to the difficulty, to the dispute which has occurred between these two factions or parties. We often associate this with a legal role, one where there is a dispute, perhaps between an employer and employee, perhaps between two neighbours warring over where the garden fence boundary actually really lies, or perhaps between a customer and a company over a product or service that has been purchased. But we find that there was, of course, this rift, this severing of the relationship between God and man, the dispute, as it were, that emerged. But unlike so many disputes that we find in a human temporal context, we find that this was different, because the fault was absolutely and entirely man's. And secondly, union could only be restored when the righteous justice of an offended God was satisfied. And so we needed a mediator, because sin had separated God from man. We needed a go-between, one who could mediate between these two parties. But we find that this mediator is Jesus Christ, the one who reconciled man to God and God to man. Not a neutral third party, as we often find in the role of mediators in this world, but rather it was Christ who brought man and God together by becoming the God-man. Wesley wrote in that wonderful hymn, "Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." And when we reflect upon the role of Christ as our mediator, we need to do so by reflecting and taking into account this divine and glorious truth that Jesus Christ is one person with two distinct natures, fully God and fully man. That is essential for our understanding of Christ as our mediator today. But in order to understand this fully, we need to continue to remember that Christ, in his heavenly ministry, remains the God-man. He remains the one who consists of two distinct natures, fully God and fully man, one person, the God-man. And it's often mistakenly thought that Christ's taking on of flesh in the incarnation was but a temporary state for his 33 or so years here on earth. It is a mistake to think that in his ascension and his return to glory, he returned to his pre-incarnate and spiritual state. No, instead, Christ remains the God-man. And as Hodge correctly asserts, when he says the divine and the human natures in Christ remain two pure and distinct natures, divine and human, constituting one person forever. And there is much evidence in Scripture to support this, that Christ remains the God-man, one person forever. One of these texts is Colossians 1:15, when the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Paul was writing this during his time as a prisoner in Rome, approaching the end of his life. It was many years after Christ had ascended back into heaven. And yet he doesn't say that Christ was the visible image of the invisible God, but is that image as he remains the God-man. Moreover, we find this in Philippians 3, verses 20 to 21, when Paul writes, "The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." And then in 1 John 3:2, when we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so then, when we think of Christ and the fact that he continues to be the God-man in heaven for us, this is not just some irrelevant a bit of theology. This is not just a technical doctrine to which we adhere, but rather this has precise and specific and practical application and meaning for us in our Christian day-to-day walk. Because when we think of Christ as our high priest, when we think of him as our mediator and the role that he is committed to and engaged in even this day, we must do so in understanding that Christ is the God-man. And so then let's think about the elements of Christ's intercession. Let's think about his role as a mediator and what that means for us. What does that look like in reality? What does this mean in a practice? And the first thing that we can say is the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ there in heaven itself. When Christ died, he entered into heaven to offer up himself as the perfect, complete, and all-sufficient atonement for the sins of his people. We read that even in Hebrews 9 this evening, that he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He offered himself without spot to God. We read he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And in so doing, he was interceding for his people. As the high priest on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, would go into the holiest of all, how he would change his garments, and how he would then enter in with the sacrifice, with that blood of the Lamb, typifying the Lamb of God who was to come. And the high priest, in so doing, wore the names of the tribes of Israel on his breastplate. Yet Christ, as the God-man, the second Adam, represented humanity and reconciled them to the Father. And while this work was of intercession, this particular work of intercession, that was unique, a one-off historical event, Christ's work of intercession continues through his perpetual presence in heaven.